Chapter 7, continued. Remembering the future. Today, one of the most pervasive and subtle aspects of hegemony is the limitations it imposes upon our collective imagination. The mantra, "There is no alternative," continues to ring true, even as more and more people strive against it. This marks a significant change from the long 20th century, when utopian imaginaries and grandiose plans for the future flourished. Images of spaceflight, for instance, were constant ciphers for humanity's desire to control its destiny. In pre-Soviet Russia, there was remarkably widespread fascination with space exploration. Though aviation was still a novelty, the dreams of spaceflight promised, quote, "total liberation from the signifiers of the past, social injustice, imperfection, gravity, and ultimately the Earth," unquote. The utopian inclinations of the time made sense of the rapidly changing world, gave credence to the belief that humanity could channel history in a rational direction, and cultivated anticipations for a future society. In the more mystical formulations, cosmists argued with admirable ambition that geoengineering and space exploration were only partial steps towards the real goal, resurrecting the entirety of the dead. Meanwhile, more secular approaches outlined detailed plans for fully automated economies, mass economic democracy, the end of class society, and the flourishing of humanity. Such was the level of enthusiasm and belief in imminent space travel that in 1924 a riot nearly erupted when rumors circulated about a possible rocket flight to the moon. Popular culture was saturated with these images and with stories in which technological and social revolution intertwined. But these were not simply matters of extraterrestrial fantasy, as they had concrete effects on people's ways of living. In the post-revolutionary period, this culture of ambition fostered a series of social experiments with new ways of communal living, domestic arrangements, and political formations. These experiments gave credence to the idea that anything was achievable in a time of rapid modernization, lending support to the Bolsheviks and the people. While utopian ambitions were largely forced underground during the Stalinist era, they reemerged in the 1950s with the growth of newfound economic confidence and the resources to make good on some of the earlier dreams. The greatest moments of the Soviet experiment, the launch of Sputnik and the economic dominance that it appeared on the verge of attaining in the 1950s, were ultimately inseparable from a popular culture imbued with utopian desires. A similar period of utopian ambition also held sway in the early years of the United States, fueled by a widespread belief that the new industrial capitalism was temporary and that a better world would soon emerge. Workers militantly struggled for this new world. In a climate far more hostile than our own, labor was able to create an array of strong organizations and exert significant pressure. The successes of this time were inseparable from a broader utopian culture. By contrast, today's world remains firmly confined within the parameters of capitalist realism. The future has been canceled. We are more prone to believing that ecological collapse is imminent, increased militarization inevitable, and rising inequality unstoppable. Contemporary science fiction is dominated by a dystopian mindset, more intent on charting the decline of the world than the possibilities for a better one. Utopias, when they are proposed, have to be rigorously justified in instrumental terms, rather than allowed to exist in excess of any calculation. Meanwhile, in the halls of academia, the utopian impulse has been castigated as naive and futile. Browbeaten by decades of failure, the left has consistently retreated from its traditionally grand ambitions. To give but one example, whereas the 1970s saw radical feminism and queer manifestos calling for a fundamentally new society, by the 1990s these had been reduced to a more moderate identity politics, and by the 2000s discussions were dominated by even milder demands to have same-sex marriage recognized and for women to have equal opportunities to become CEOs. Today, the space of radical hope has come to be occupied by a supposedly skeptical maturity and a widespread cynical reason. And the goals of an ambitious left, which once aimed at the total transformation of society, have been reduced down to minor tinkering at the edges of society. We believe that an ambitious left is essential to a post-work program, and that to achieve this, the future must be remembered and rebuilt. Utopias are the embodiment of the hyperstitions of progress. They demand that the future be realized. They form an impossible but necessary object of desire, and they give us a language of hope and aspiration for a better world. The denunciations of utopias' fantasies overlook the fact that it is precisely the element of imagination that makes utopias essential to any process of political change. If we want to escape from the present, we must first dismiss the settled parameters of the future and wrench open a new horizon of possibility. Without the belief in a different future, radical political thinking will be excluded from the beginning. Indeed, utopian ideas have been central to every major moment of liberation, from early liberalism to socialisms of all stripes, to feminism and anti-colonial nationalism, cosmism, Afrofuturism, dreams of immortality, and space exploration. All of these signal a universal impulse towards utopian thinking. Even the neoliberal revolution cultivated the desire for an alternative liberal utopia in the face of a dominant Keynesian consensus. But any competing left utopias have gone sorely under-resourced since the collapse of the Soviet Union. We therefore argue that the left must release the utopian impulse from its neoliberal shackles in order to expand the space of the possible, mobilize a critical perspective on the present moment, and cultivate new desires. First, utopian thought rigorously analyzes the current conjuncture and projects its tendencies out into the future. Whereas scientific approaches attempt to reduce the discussions of the future to fit within a probabilistic framework, utopian thought recognizes that the future is radically open. What may appear impossible today might become eminently possible. At their best, utopias include tensions and dynamism within themselves, rather than presenting a static image of a perfected society. While irreducible to instrumental concerns, utopias also foster the imagination of ideas that might be implemented when conditions change. For example, the 19th century Russian cosmists were among the first to think seriously about the social implications and potentials of spaceflight. Initially considered ineffectual dreamers, they ended up heavily influencing the future science of rocketry. Likewise, early science fiction dealing with space exploration and cosmist utopias went on to influence state policy towards science and technology in the wake of the Russian Revolution. The creation of alternatives also makes it possible to recognize that another world is possible in the first place. As the flawed but significant global alternative posed by the USSR disappears from living memory, such images of a different world become increasingly important, widening the Overton window and experimenting with ideas about what might be achieved under different conditions. In elaborating an image of the future, utopian thought also generates a viewpoint from which the present becomes open to critique. It suspends the appearance of the present as inevitable and brings to light aspects of the world that would otherwise go unnoticed, raising questions that must be constitutively excluded. Recent U.S. science fiction, for instance, has often been written in response to contemporary issues of race, gender, and class, while early Russian utopias imagined worlds that overcame the problems posed by rapid urbanization and conflicting ethnicities. These worlds not only model solutions, but illuminate problems. As Slavoj Žižek notes in his discussion of Thomas Piketty, the seemingly modest demand to implement a global tax actually implies a radical reorganization of the entire global political structure. Implicit within this small claim is a utopian impulse, since the conditions for making it possible require such a fundamental reconfiguration of existing circumstances. Likewise, the demand for a universal basic income provides a perspective from which the social nature of work, its invisible domestic aspect, and its extension to every area of our lives become more readily apparent. The ways we organize our lives, families, and communities are given a fresh appearance when viewed from the perspective of a post-work world. Why do we devote one-third of our lives in submission to someone else? Why do we insist that domestic work, performed primarily by women, go unpaid? Why are our cities organized around lengthy, dreary commutes from the suburbs? The utopian demand from the future therefore implores us to question the givens of our world. In these ways, utopias can be both a negation of the present and an affirmation of a possible future. Finally, in affirming the future, utopia functions as an affective modulator. It manipulates and modifies our desires and feelings at both conscious and preconscious levels. In all its variations, utopia ultimately concerns the, quote, education of desire, unquote. It provides a frame for us, telling us both how and what to desire, while unleashing these libidinal elements from the bounds of the reasonable. Utopias give us something to aim for, something beyond the stale repetition of the same offered by the eternal present of capitalism. In cracking open the present and providing an image of a better future, the space between the present and the future becomes the space for hope and the desire for more. By generating and channeling these affects, utopian thinking can become a spur to action, a catalyst for change. It disrupts habits and breaks down consent to the existing order. Futural thinking, extended by communications mechanisms, generates collective affects of hope that mobilize people to act on behalf of a better future. Affects that are necessary to any political project. While utopian thinking rejects the melancholy and transcendental miserabilism found in some parts of the contemporary left, it also invokes its own negative affect. The obverse of hope is disappointment, an affect that is today embodied in figures like the young, quote, graduate with no future, unquote. Whereas anger has traditionally been the dominant affect of the militant left, disappointment invokes a more productive relation. Not merely a willed transformation of the status quo, but also a desire for what might be. Disappointment indexes a yearning for a lost future. If the left is to counter the common sense of neoliberalism, parentheses, multiple quotes, there's not enough money. Everyone must work. Government is inefficient. Utopian thinking will be essential. We need to think big. The natural habitat of the left has always been the future, and this terrain must be reclaimed. In our neoliberal era, the drive for a better world has largely been whittled away under the pressures and demands of everyday existence. In this repression, what has been lost is that ambition to produce, quote, a world that exceeds, existentially, aesthetically, as well as politically, the miserable confines of bourgeois culture, unquote. But as an apparently universal and irrepressible characteristic of human cultures, utopian thinking can surge forth under even the most repressive conditions. Utopian inclinations play out across the human spectrum of feelings and affects. Embodied in popular culture, high culture, fashion, city planning, and even quotidian daydreaming. The popular desire for space exploration, for instance, points to a curiosity and ambition that lies beyond the profit motive. The like-minded trend of Afrofuturism offers not only a highly stylized image of a better future, but also ties it to a radical critique of existing structures of oppression, and a remembrance of past struggles. The post-work imaginary also contains numerous historical precedents in utopian writing, pointing to a constant striving to move beyond the constraints of wage labor. Cultural movements and aesthetic production have essential roles to play in reigniting the desire for utopia and inspiring visions of a different world.